Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to take a look at Jupiter's conjunction with Neptune. Now, over the past couple of months, I've actually previewed this transit a few times. So if you go back in my archives, you could actually look at several videos I've made since the start of 2022 about this transit. We're going to take a few different angles with this transit in the next week, so this will not be the only video that I'll be doing on Jupiter and Neptune, but I wanted to start it off with something really uplifting. So today we're going to be looking at Jupiter's conjunction to Neptune through the lens of this one particular theme that many astrologers talk about when it comes to Jupiter and Neptune, and that is the theme of redemption. Jupiter-Neptune transit, especially in the watery feminine sign of Pisces, the place where Venus is exalted, that is a sign that is often associated with the feeling or quality of redemption, hope, faith, themes like compassion and so forth. So we're going to take a look at that today. Before I dive into that, I want to remind all of you guys that this week until April 11th, all of my 2022 online programs are 50% off. You can check them out at nightlightastrology.com. I will navigate there right. I'll actually navigate there right now so that you can see where to go and how to take advantage of those deals. My new program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, I'll be promoting it a lot more in depth in the weeks ahead. It starts early June. But right now we're running a 1-week sale because we had a lot of people ask if they could get the deal from the Kickstarter, which we ran for a little while. We ran it for about 40 days when the Kickstarter is active. And then enough people were there that kind of missed it or, sort of wished that they would have taken advantage of it. So we said, okay, we'll do 1 week of sort of rerunning that sale. So if you go to the course, here's where you can find it. On the course page, you'll see, or on the Nightlight Astrology website, you'll see the courses tab. You are going to click on that tab. And if you're starting from scratch and you want to start with my first year program, it is a great program. You can learn all about it on the website. You click on that one. If you're a currently enrolled student, second year and horary courses also start in June. You can enroll in those. Remember, the Advanced Readings and Passages program also starts in the fall. Any of those programs for 2022, including the fall first year program, you could use with this sale. So click on the first year course. And once you are there, you're going to navigate down. You can click view enrollment details. It'll take you to the bottom. The early bird payment is the option that is the sale. So click on that. You can add and bundle a second course for even $100 less. So you save a little bit more if you end up bundling. And that's about it. If you guys have any questions about that, feel free to email me, which is info@nightlightastrology.com. Okay, so I'm really excited today to talk about this transit of Jupiter conjoining Neptune in Pisces. I'm going to be doing a few live casts probably next week around the time of the transit. I'll come on, talk a little bit more about this transit and actually do some readings. What does this look like in your chart right now? I'm going to take a few live birth chart readings and things like that. So obviously, as always, if you enjoy my work, please like, subscribe to the channel and share your comments, and then click the notification bell if you want to receive an update when I do go live, and then you'll know when you can join. People always ask me that, and I always neglect to tell people, yeah, just subscribe to the channel and click the notification bell, and that's how you are notified. Also, one more thing to say. If you guys have been watching my channel for a while, you know that I always invite people to share personal stories about the transits. Once in a while, I aggregate those stories into grabbed episodes. One of the ancient names for the planets, grahas, meant grabbers. And we tell stories about how the planets come in and have a way of just suddenly seizing our consciousness. And they just come in randomly and sometimes just take over. And there's sometimes the stories are really funny. They're really poignant, insightful. Sometimes they're a little heartbreaking, but they're great stories to share. You can always use the hashtag grabbed in the comment section or email us grabbed@nightlightastrology.com to share a story. Maybe we'll use it for a future episode. I love reading those stories, and I think everyone else appreciates hearing other and sharing those stories together. So how are the planets showing up in your life? How are they popping in and acting as teachers, use the hashtag grab to share that with us. Also, transcripts of my daily talks can be found on my website. I've neglected to mention this for a really long time, but if you're someone who would benefit from reading the transcripts of my talks, you can go to the blog page at nightlightastrology.com and the transcripts are always there. All right, so Jupiter is conjoining Neptune in Pisces from March 27th to April 29th. If we use that 3-degree range, what was called the engagement range in ancient astrology, it perfects on April 12th. So it's coming up. The actual conjunction is a really important moment. It's sort of like the full moon moment. It's the peak of the aspect, the actual perfection day. But when it's within 3 degrees, applying and separating, you're going to feel the effects in general. So this whole month of April is really the Jupiter-Neptune month. And obviously most astrologers have this at the top of their list for important transits on the year. Let's take a look at it on the real-time clock before we dive in today. Here is the real-time clock. And I'm going to go ahead and highlight it. You can see here is Jupiter and Neptune coming together. There's about 3 minutes of separation from them right now, but this is April 12th, the day of their conjunction. You'll notice that exalted Venus is co-present, so it has a very benefic, uplifting feeling to it. It's configured by a sextile to Uranus and to Mercury in Taurus. It's configured by a sextile to Pluto, and it doesn't really have any harmful, damaging aspects from anything else in the sky simultaneously. This is why I think most astrologers have had pretty optimistic outlooks about this transit overall, and I do too. So it perfects on April 12th. We're coming down the home stretch of the most intense part of this transit here. So we'll be talking about it a few times. Today I want to talk about one of the most universal themes associated with Jupiter and Neptune and their conjunction, or any of their more positive configurations like trines, even to some extent their oppositions, but especially like trines, sextiles, conjunctions. Jupiter and Neptune coming together often bring the theme of redemption. So I want to talk about this today from the standpoint, I'm going to share a story with you guys that has to do with one of the most powerful Jupiter-Neptune experiences that I've ever had. I went back and I looked at all the transits in my life when there was some configuration between transiting Jupiter and my natal Neptune, or transiting Neptune and my natal Jupiter, and so forth. And what I found was that actually in May of 2005, thereabouts, in my birth chart, there was a coming, Jupiter and Neptune were trine in the sky during that time. Jupiter was in Libra and Neptune was in Aquarius. So they were forming a trine with each other, but they were also both activating my own natal Jupiter. So it was a Jupiter-Neptune trine, both configured by a trine to my natal Jupiter, or in the case of Jupiter, it was actually conjoined because my natal Jupiter is in Libra. So as I compared many different moments in my life, there were some other good examples, but that one stood out. That was one of the most vivid, redeeming moments of my life. So I'm going to share this story today in the hopes that it illustrates some of the more exciting, optimistic, and hopeful qualities of this transit. But we will be visiting other aspects of this transit, some that are more challenging in the course of the next week. I want to say that the other thought that I had in sharing this story in particular about Jupiter, Neptune, and this theme of redemption is that I just started a new series yesterday on the intersection between psychedelics, namely ayahuasca shamanism, and the way that I initially started learning astrology. If you haven't checked that out yet, give it a listen. It was the first episode I published yesterday, and that's an episode that's really deeply about astrology, but also its relationship with ayahuasca, psychedelics, altered states of consciousness, and things like that. Formed a big part of my life path. And it so happens that my first series of 3 ayahuasca ceremonies in Peru coincided with Jupiter and Neptune forming a trine and both hitting my natal Jupiter. So I want to tell that story today. If you want to check out my book, I wrote a book called Fishers of Men, The Gospel of an Ayahuasca Vision Quest. It was published on the same day that I started my astrology career in July of 2010. when I began my full-time practice of astrology. So it's kind of, there's always been a really intimate connection between my journey with ayahuasca, yoga, and astrology together. You can learn a little bit more about that background with my book, which was published by Tartar Penguin that year in 2010. So I had an experience in my very first ayahuasca ceremony. This was the very first time I had ever drank. I had a background prior to drinking ayahuasca with psychedelics and, you know, experimentation, some of which was really reckless and not advisable, you know, like at all. But one of the things that I decided, one of the reasons that I decided to go and drink ayahuasca, and I thought it might be beneficial, is that I was struggling very, you know, nobody really knew, very few people knew, but because I was very secretive about it, but I was struggling with an opiate addiction. I had developed an opiate addiction after having Vicodin, I think it was, after a surgery. And then was living next door to my grandfather, was in graduate school. And this is all in my book, by the way. And I started, you know, taking his stash of Vicodin and other things too, Oxycontin and some morphine at times that he had. And my turns out that my grandfather was also abusing pain meds, and he had gotten addicted to them because he had been prescribed them, you know, medically as well. So there was this weird sort of karmic generational thing going on. And my camera is doing that thing again, man. I thought I had it fixed. There we go. So the background of one of the main reasons that I went to drink ayahuasca was because I had read that this psychedelic experience, this ritualistic sort of sacred religious shamanic experience from South Central America, was being used with great success to treat addiction. And I also, at that point, was very heavily interested in Eastern philosophy, psychedelic experiences. I was, you know, starting to get interested soon after in astrology too, and yoga and so forth. So my very first night, I would describe as the encounter with the opiate addiction. My very first ceremony drinking ayahuasca was a really profound encounter with opiate addiction. And there was a vision that I had. There's many visions that you have throughout the night. They're, you know, like almost like, I call it a vision because it's like an experience that may last 10 minutes, 20 minutes, but it's a series of things that you see, feel, think, go through. And all of a sudden you realize after maybe say 20 minutes of this experience that something has changed. You've gotten a healing. Maybe you've thrown up a little. It's very cathartic in that respect. But you realize that everything you just went through over the course of, say, 20 minutes was all connected. It all had like a thematic center, and maybe you barfed a few times during those 20 minutes. And so anyway, I had a number that night of long sequences that I would call, in this sense, visions. And they all related to what was beneath and within the opiate addiction. I'm not going to go into that so much, but there's one vision that I had in particular. It was very visual, and it was a feeling. So I was becoming very, very sick and ill, and I don't want to say I was literally throwing up opiates, right? Because that just doesn't feel quite accurate. But it was like I was vomiting out the psychic substance within the opiate addiction, literally feeling like it was being squeezed out of my body by like rainbow pythons. I mean, it was crazy and very scary, like very overwhelming to feel like literally my body was no longer my body, but that my body had become a boa constrictor that was simultaneously squeezing a body, not my body, but a body out, like wringing it out by squeezing it in like a death grip. And then, oh, I do have a body, but now I'm barfing. I know that's really vivid, and I'm sorry if it's a little graphic, but that's how it is. So I was doing that, and like over and over, and it was very clear, because every time I would come back to my body and feel like this anaconda boa constrictor thing was like, you know, squeezing me out, and I would barf, the visuals would be of the sickness, the mental, emotional sickness of addiction and of opiates. And it was very clear that it was wringing me out of this. And I mean, I was like, well, this is what I signed up for. I had that thought a few times. Like, what did I think I was going to get? This is everything people told me was going to happen, and it's happening, and it's scary as hell. And I think I'm going to die. But I have no choice. Now I'm just going through it. But after a while, like, you know, my ability to stay in a centered place mentally, emotionally, or physically was just gone. I was being destroyed. It's like when you're so sick, you know, that you literally can't like move. There's no ego center to like use the steering wheel. You're just not at the steering wheel at all, you know? So I was pretty much annihilated in that respect. And I had my cheek resting on the floorboards of the like ceremonial lodge, the mesa, sort of, so to speak, the shamanic like mesa. And I was like, you know, my face was just like pressed against it, and I was sprawled out. And in my visionary state, I was no longer being like wrung out and barfing. It was like I had barfed my brains and my soul and opiate addiction, and I was just totally leveled by what I had just experienced. I was not prepared for it psychically or emotionally. I'm laying there, and as I'm laying there on the floor, I start to hallucinate basically that I'm in a bathroom, right? I'm like in this bathroom, and the floor is like, it's like, you know, like a gross tiley floor. But as I'm looking at it, you know, it becomes like translucent, and I can see through the floor of the bathroom, and I sense that there's like a toilet near me somehow, and I'm in a stall, but I can sort of see through the floor, and through the floor, there's like stars. And you know, celestial looking things. I don't know, like nebula or, you know, just like a celestial cosmic looking scene, almost like you're looking out the deck of like the Starship Enterprise or something. That it was sort of faint at first. And it was as though this feeling of being on a bathroom floor was like dissolving. And I was like looking out into this cosmos, but it was weird because it felt like I was still in a bathroom. All of a sudden, I had this this phrase, "This is God's bathroom floor." It was like, it felt like the most profound. I mean, I'm sure like just sound like I was just high as hell, but like it felt like the most profound thing I had like maybe ever heard in my life. This is God's bathroom floor. And it felt like this kind of weird cosmic, shamanic, alien way station where I was releasing, but it wasn't physical substance that I was releasing like human excrement, you know, it was psychic soul baggage that was being barfed out. And somehow in my like state of just being ruined on this floor, which at first felt sort of filthy and hopeless, I start seeing the stars through the floor, becomes sort of translucent, and I start seeing like the stars and galaxy, all, you know, all this stuff. And all of a sudden I go, this is God, like this phrase, like this is God's bathroom floor comes to me. And then I kid you not, like it was just insight after insight after insight, like really rapidly. Some of these insights, I want to be totally transparent and clear about this, were things that the shaman had said to encourage me and other people in the room as the most perilous and intense things were happening, but I couldn't hear them or like make sense of them at all. And so it was weird because it was like this weird reverb of teachings and insights and encouragements and affirmations and very redeeming realizations that I was not able to access because of the boa constrictor sort of like squeezing me out. But then landing on God's bathroom floor and sort of looking through these translucent tiles like out into space, that sounds totally crazy saying it. There was just insight after insight. Some of them were original. Some of them had not come from the shaman or the guidance that the shaman was giving. But then some of them were. So here are 10 of the things that I remember. And I have no idea if this list is, you know, this is me approximating what I realized and what insights were flooding me in that moment. Because in that moment, it was as though somehow through this realization that this is God's bathroom floor. You're not in a, by the way, some background. I had tried numerous times to quit my addiction to Oxycontin, morphine, methadone, Vicodin, things like that. I had numerous times I had tried to quit and would end up locking myself in the bathroom of this little cottage that I was staying in during graduate school. And I was living there by myself. It was a little home that my parents had built to retire into on my grandfather's land in rural Michigan. And I was in this, I locked myself in the bathroom at certain times because, you know, as I was withdrawing, often because I didn't have anything, any substance available any longer. Other times because I was purposefully trying to quit, but I go through these intense like panic attacks and like nausea and just terrible like sweats and shakes and stuff like that. And so I'd sort of like lock myself into the bathroom and a number of times was laid out on the bathroom floor. So I think this vision was also a sort of recollection of withdrawing in other scenarios or situations. But in this scenario, the way that ayahuasca was purging me was divine. And I respect any way that someone gets sober. There's a million good ways to get sober. You know what I mean? But it, you know, this was about a realization of something that needed to come out of me that was not a chemical. Okay. It wasn't just a genetic problem, although I understand there's that level of it. It was a spiritual ailment and affliction. And whatever I had barfed out, I was on a different bathroom floor. This was God's bathroom floor. That's the phrase that came to my head. I ended up writing a short story about it in my graduate program that would go on to become a core part of the book that I wrote, thesis project, that turned into the book that you see on the screen right now. So there were, I made a list to talk about 10 most redeeming things that came out of sitting there in this moment and realizing that I had done some kind of purging and healing because of this miraculous divine plant medicine and this amazing intelligence that lived within it that was squeezing me out, but lifting me up psychically and spiritually at the same time. So these are the 10 things that came to me. And remember, as this is happening, Jupiter and Neptune are trining each other in the sky, and both are configured to my natal Jupiter. Actually, both were configured to my natal Neptune as well, because I have a Jupiter-Neptune sextile on my chart. So these are the 10 things that I remember. These are some of the most redeeming things I have ever heard, most of which maybe I had heard before, but only really realized that first night of drinking ayahuasca. And it's what's funny is I still had maybe 3 hours ahead of me after this point in the ceremony of getting wrung out even more, but in lots of other different ways. I expected that like the first 3 ceremonies down, like all 3, I would just be like barfing out opiates. I feel like it, I don't know, but I feel like the opiate addiction issue, like an hour of the first ceremony was like that. And then it was sort of gone. Anyway, more about that another time. So these are the insights that came and they stuck with me. They somehow were downloaded and they became real. These things became the substance of my life. And I am here today doing what I do as an astrologer, as a father, as a husband, as a yogi. I don't know if I am any good at it, but these are the things that form the foundation of my faith. These are the most redeeming things I have ever heard. These things picked me up off the floor, and I hope they will for you too. So number one, nothing is at stake. Now, these are not things that I want to share lightly, like, oh, just take this and run with it. These are things that I don't think are easy. They're redeeming, but they're not easy to swallow. I mean, I came to this place because of getting swallowed by some kind of cosmic serpent and like, you know, barfing everywhere and feeling completely annihilated, right? But what I, one of the first things that I realized, like right away in this state on God's bathroom floor, was that there is nothing at stake. Absolutely nothing at stake. It feels like there is a lot at stake. And because it feels like there is a lot at stake and we can live, I mean, life is like method acting, you know? And so because it feels like there is, and we want to act on the stage of life into the dramas of life, there can be the feeling and the experience of there being a lot at stake. So it's not that it's some kind of illusion that there is a weightiness or like a gravitas to existence and to the dramas of life. But this experience taught me one vital thing, which is that, you know, behind and within every experience, you persist, you go on. Don't worry. Like, don't spend your life, live your life. You're going to get involved in dramas and storylines and, you know, and love it and experience it and enjoy it. But know that, like, ultimately, nothing is at stake. Why? Because number two, you are a divine, immortal, eternal being. Nothing can hurt you. Nothing can harm you. Every experience that you have is for you. And number three, every single thing is happening because of love. It doesn't feel like it all the time, especially when the intensity of life and the feeling that there's a lot at stake rises up and really grips us. But beneath it all, within it all, you will endure. You have never been born. You will never die. You are immortal. You are eternal. There is nothing ultimately at stake in any of this. Everything is held together because of love. The intelligence behind and within all things, all experiences, no matter what, is loving, benevolent, good. Nothing is at stake. You are a divine, immortal, eternal being. Everything is happening because of love. And when you are stressed out, as if these things are not true, please come back to them. Because this is the definition of redemption. This is the truth. Number four, faith is not knowing for sure what truth is. Faith is just taking the next step. Taking the next step, especially when it feels like there's a lot at stake, especially when you don't trust that you're a divine, immortal, eternal, spiritual being, especially when you don't know or trust that everything is made of love, especially then, faith does not mean that you know all of those things. Faith means you just take the next step, hoping that they are true. That's what faith is. I was so relieved. Growing up in the Christian church, I was told, in a sense, not directly, but sort of subliminally, and not through the best of the Christian fold, but in some ways the shadows of the Christian faith. I was told, your faith is what makes it. You have to have faith in all of these big truths, and you have to know that they're true. And I couldn't bear that burden. I could not, absolutely could not live up to it. And here's this redeeming statement, like, no, you don't have to. You don't have to know every day that you're divine and eternal, that nothing is at stake, that everything is made of God's love. You just have to take the next step, hoping that those things are true. And what you will find out time and time again is that they are. But just the next step. Number five, there was a vision that I had that synced up very neatly with something the shaman said. I had a vision in the same evening, really close to this God's bathroom floor sequence. So I'm including it, even though it technically happened sort of right after it. But in this scenario, I saw Jesus walking on water in this weird sort of psychedelic space with lots of Greek columns. It was very esoteric. And the something the shaman said was echoed in the presence of Jesus in this vision. And it was Jesus saying, as God, as an avatar of God. And whether that's true or not, you know, don't get hung up on that. I'm certainly not. I'm just taking the next step, right? I am the only one who has the ability to judge anything accurately, fully, with full comprehension, and I never do. I'm the only one who has the power to judge, and I don't. And the weight of that being lifted. Again, I would call some of these things realizations that sort of took some weird Christian thorns out of me. Number six, there are insights, learning, and lessons in absolutely everything if we want to learn and if we stay curious. This was not a message that I received that was like, hey, look, life is a classroom. There's a lesson in everything. You better go look for it. You better learn. You better master the lessons and level up. No, it wasn't like that at all. If you want to, my beloved child, if you're interested, anything that happens to you, if you have an open heart, an open mind, if you seek, you will find. If you knock on a door, it will be opened. If you have questions, there will be answers. If you want insights, if you want to learn, if you want to become wise, any experience whatsoever is chock full of more insight, more knowledge, more truth, more beauty, more love than you can possibly imagine. So keep your heart open. Ask questions if you want to. You can also, you're not beholden to having to constantly be feeling like there's a taskmaster somewhere that's making sure you learn the lesson. I think a lot of people don't like that new age trope. There's a trope that there's a lesson in everything. But why don't they like it? Because it's like, you know, I don't feel like being in some kind of cosmic classroom where the pressure to get it right is there all the time. This was not that. This was saying, like, dearly beloved people of the universe, if you want to learn, there's no limit to the amount of learning, you know, and insight available. All you have to do is keep an open heart and an open mind, and you will learn. And more than what you learn, you will fall in love with the experience of learning. And that experience of learning is, you know, the experience of learning itself is more about communion with our source than it is about what we learn or what knowledge we gain. Number seven, change your association and you change your life. I remember laying there and the insight being like, as simple as, if you don't want to go to hell, then stay in heaven. Well, what does that mean? If you don't want to go into hellish spaces, you have choice. Be mindful, be attentive, be thoughtful about who and what you associate with. And as you do, accordingly, the environment will support more heavenly or more hellish experiences. Mind blown, you know, that was a reconfiguration of what I understood heaven and hell to be, and also what I understood as the role of free will. The role of free will isn't that I control everything. That's such a task, right? Such a burden. No, it's just, can I be mindful of who and what I surround myself with? And if I do, watch what pours in, watch what opens up, watch what spirits I commune with, watch what vibrations of peace and love come in because I choose to associate with those things, with those qualities. It was an amazing insight and like life-changing. Number eight, you are never lost and you're always being guided. Even when you feel lost, and that can be a real feeling, you never are lost. You're always being guided. Trust that. Come back and say that to yourself every day. I am being guided. I am never lost. I am being guided. I am never lost. It might sound cheesy, you know? But it only sounds cheesy to the degree that you're not able to just breathe some freaking conviction into it. It's only cheesy. It's only a cliche. It's only something that is trite and worn out. If you make it that way, this is what I was receiving, right? So don't make it that way. Believe it. With your heart, I am not lost. I am being guided. Now, do I have to know that that's absolutely the truth? No, but I can take the next step hoping it is. Remember, that's back to that statement about faith. Number nine, darkness fear, evil are temporary. Love is eternal. Is darkness, fear, and evil, are they real? Yes, they're not just illusions. A lot of people like to think spiritually that those things, oh, they're all just illusions. You know, you'll overcome it when you realize there's no such thing as darkness. There's no such fear. There's no such thing as evil. No, it's not that there's no such thing as those things. It's that they are temporary. And who you are is eternal. And so really, really vital teaching. I remember very well that night. And in many future ayahuasca ceremonies, it's not like in learning these things or having these downloads, these redeeming insights, that suddenly I never needed to hear them again. I still need to hear them like all the time. Darkness, fear, and evil are temporary. Love, which is who you are, which is what everything is finally made of. The divine substance in and through everything, unable to be circumscribed with the mind, not something that you can grasp, but you know it when you're in it, you know it when you feel it, and that is what is ultimately real and eternal. Everything else has a place and a purpose, but it is in service of love, and darkness, fear, and evil are only temporary. 10, be courageous. Don't give up. Live a life of courage. Don't give up. Let things go easily and keep opening your heart and mind, because it can always open more. Your heart, one of the most beautiful things about your heart is that it is the ultimate yes. It is the ultimate space of acceptance, and it can open infinitely. It can just keep opening. Our mind, our heart, our spirit, who we are fundamentally, can keep opening, can keep growing. Opening is just a word, an image. It's an endless experience, not a state you're trying to reach, but an endless experience. So keep going down that path. Don't give up. Be courageous. Keep going. That is what I experienced in my very first ayahuasca ceremony. All of these insights, the most redeeming things I've ever heard, that have been the formation of my faith ever since, that led me to study astrology, that led me to study yoga, that led me to, you know, marry a spiritual woman and try to raise my kids with spiritual substance, you know, it's this. So that's why I'm so hopeful about this transit. That's why there's lots of shadows about Jupiter Neptune. But this transit gave me perhaps the most important spiritual insights of my life. I did not master anything that night, but I got the shit squeezed out of me, you know, like a crazy cosmic snake, ended up on God's bathroom floor. And even though I didn't know astrology at the time, Jupiter and Neptune dropped some love bombs on me. And I hope that you get a little of the shrapnel of that love bomb hits you a little bit and is something that that just adds something really positive to your life this week. So that's what I've got. I hope you guys enjoy this. I'm looking forward to more on Jupiter Neptune in the week ahead. Like I said, we'll do some live casts and stuff like that. Don't forget, if you enjoy my work, please like, subscribe to the channel, share your comments in the comments section, click the notification bell for updates, and we will see you again soon. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.